Our correspondent in South Africa is Deborah Patter, CBS News foreign correspondent. Deborah, hi. Really good to talk.
Hi there.
Let's talk about COVID and Africa. What is happening in various parts of the continent, by and large, managing the outbreak pretty well?
It is. I think it was a big surprise for everybody. 1.6 million cases, 39,000 deaths. That death rate is probably higher because there are excess deaths that are unaccounted for. But relatively speaking, we're not seeing hospitals being overwhelmed and dead bodies piling up at morgues. There is nothing like that happening in any country, even in South Africa, which has the highest number of COVID cases on the continent, with over 700,000 and 18,000 of those 38,000 deaths. They seem to have passed the surge here as well. And this took people by surprise, because the prediction was there was going to be Armageddon in the continent, and instead the countries not only seem to have managed it well, but have avoided the kinds of scenarios that have taken in far more developed countries with better health systems. One of the reasons that's been given is the relative youthfulness of the African population. It's a pretty young population, and the disease does not seem to affect young people as much as we know. And also the remoteness of many countries, with people living in rural areas and disease not having spread to those places. But nevertheless, in a country like South Africa, which is built up, has a big urban area, we still haven't seen the kind of spread of the disease that we've had in other parts of the world. But it was a very early lockdown here, and that has been the case in many African countries, very rigid lockdown, sometimes too rigidly enforced, with police using excessive force to enforce those lockdowns. But people also seem to be obeying, you know, the regulations to wear masks, social distancing as far as possible, and that does seem to be having some kind of effect. But scientists are looking at whether or not perhaps there is something on this continent that has meant that more people are getting this disease asymptomatically and not having the kind of extreme cases that we're seeing elsewhere in some parts of the world.
How have governments and mayors and districts responded when it comes to people movement, social distancing? Have we seen actual lockdowns in places? Because we've seen so much of the world just grappling with almost a betwixt and between response trying to chase this virus.
Mm. It's difficult, you know. In South Africa, there was a very, very hard lockdown. I think this country had one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. They banned alcohol, they banned tobacco. Alcohol, the alcohol ban was only very recently lifted, about a month and a half ago. So there were certainly very, very strict conditions. And elsewhere, places like Rwanda, they really went for it straight away, making sure that there was early lockdown, a lot of education. In places like the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is used to contagious diseases, they've had 10 Ebola outbreaks there. It is very easy just to begin the whole process of hand sanitization, wearing masks, because people were used to that from previous outbreaks of different diseases. So there certainly has been an uptake, and I think the World Health Organization's suggestions of social distancing, wearing masks, and hand sanitization seem to have spread across the continent as far as possible. Obviously, in poor areas, sanitization becomes a difficult problem, but even in those areas, you still see people trying to wear masks. Certainly, there's been no politicization of mask wearing. People generally have complied by the rules as far as possible.
Well, speaking of which, let's have a look at the United States election and how people are anticipating that in various parts of the continent. Again, everyone is looking at what is now just over 2 weeks away and wondering what kind of United States will come out the other end of it, regardless of who is leading. What are some of the views being expressed there and some of the issues that people have about where the US heads under either a returned president or a new one?
Well, I think that's an interesting one. If you look at how the United States has handled the pandemic, the general consensus, and I'm speaking broadly here, for many countries on this continent, is that it hasn't been handled very well and really has revealed many of the cracks in America's democratic system. America in Africa has always held a place where it's been looked up to in some ways. It's been this sort of role model for democracy, a barometer for the world, hailed as a champion of democracy, particularly with fragile democracy struggling perhaps to overthrow dictators or overcoming a colonial past. And now what you're hearing people and commentators say is, this is not the America of today. This is a country where you see a president in office who has said he is not prepared to lose this election. You're seeing old historical divisions coming to the fore again with sort of race issues rising again in the U.S., a highly weaponized society as well. And these are warning signs. In fact, one international election observer told me that if America was an African country, right now we'd be talking about sending peacekeeping troops there and beefing up international monitors because it is so tense and so divisive. I don't think anyone's predicting the kind of violence that you see in some countries in Africa, which have had a very violent past, and perhaps they're viewing the U.S. through that lens. But nevertheless, there is a concern that who matters, who wins matters for this continent, particularly because a lot of people feel that U.S. President Donald Trump has perhaps emboldened African dictators who think, well, if the U.S. doesn't follow the rules, why do we need to follow the rules? So they're watching that election very, very keenly. By and large, you would find most countries here would probably support a Biden presidency, and they'll be hoping to reestablish old, very deep historical links with America in terms of trade, HIV/AIDS initiatives, and the stuff that we've seen before during the Clinton years, for example. There was very strong engagement with this continent. And even George W. Bush with his AIDS initiative was widely lauded in this continent. And of course, when Barack Obama was elected, it was almost treated as if he was Africa's president as well. So I think there's been a lot of disappointment and a worry that what's going to happen in America is very important for the fragile democratization of this continent.
What is the story of a shooting of a young man during curfew in South Africa, and what has been learned about it?
Well, of course, the issue of police brutality is one that has consumed the world. It's sort of been the parallel issue to the COVID pandemic this year after the death of George Floyd in the US. And in South Africa, a few weeks ago, a young teenage boy, his name was Nathaniel Julius, he was 16 years old, and he had Down syndrome, was shot dead by police. He was out just after curfew. At that stage, South Africa in their lockdown had a curfew which began at 9 o'clock at night, and he was out just after that, a few meters from his home. He was shot dead. Police at the time lied and said he was involved in, got caught in the crossfire of gang warfare. It later turned out that this was, in fact, a complete fabrication. He was shot at point-blank range. And now questions are being asked of why this is happening in a country where the police force, by and large, is black. So you have victims who are black and perpetrators who are black. And this is not Minneapolis, this is not Ferguson, this is South Africa, where this kind of thing is happening. And one would have assumed that over the past 24 years, there's been reform in the police force as it overcame apartheid. But I think what you're seeing is, and what's being said here, is that the police often are deployed in communities to lord it over communities, as it were, to protect the powerful, to protect the elite, regardless of whether they're black or white, and not to actually serve the community. And there needs to be a radical change in how police understand what their role is as police officers. We're seeing it in places like Nigeria as well, where there's been a massive, almost globally supported movement against a branch of Nigeria's police called the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, where there have been protests every single day about the way they handle policing. So I think what happened in the U.S. and by extension the world has focused attention on police brutality across this continent, with people starting to say, we've inherited a colonial form of policing, and we're not satisfied with that. We need police reform, and we need to see police serving the community rather than brutally enforcing rules that end up marginalizing and once again oppressing poorer sections of the communities across this continent.
Thanks very much, Deborah. Much appreciated. Deborah Patter is CBS News foreign correspondent. She is based in South Africa.